Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we're going to be talking about some news and feedback. There's a Nova project in the works, and the name of Venom 3 has been announced. And what does it mean for the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe? All that right after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll. What is up, Ashley? Sorry, you do your thing. I don't know. I'm off today. I don't know what's up with me.
I've done it the last two podcasts I've done, and we've just left it because I was like, I called Jay Snotty, and I couldn't get it back for the rest of the, I was like, this is my love. And I was just like, I'm so sorry. We were recording on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, well, that's your first problem right there. I completely missed out on St. Patty's Day this year. Just didn't observe St. Patty's Day this year.
We brunched it. It was the nice. Only thing I could think to do. I was like, let's go out early.
Yeah, that's rad. We did, I was like in the house cleaning all day. That's it. That was my whole St. Patty's Day. And then I realized at 10 p.m., whoa, it's St. Patty's Day. Yeah. When did I stop being the kind of guy who goes out for St. Patty's Day? What's wrong with me?
I've definitely turned into that person when I'm out. I'm like, ugh, look at them all in that green. I go, you to tell the difference between real Irish people and fake Irish people, I go, look at me, look at them, because I'm better.
Well, we got a little bit of news. I feel like the biggest piece of news this week is that X-Men starts this week.
Yeah, I finished my rewatch.
Yeah, of the original animated series.
By the end of that, I felt crazy because I was just watching too much of it to get it done.
Right.
And it's hard. It is funny. I've said it before. I remember pretty much every episode because I would tape them until I think about the last season. I really didn't like what was going on in the last season. They changed the intro music. I don't know mm-hmm. whether they got more money or less money because
it was
I don't
a different
animation
studio, I believe. Huh? I believe a different animation studio took over the last season. There was some sort of big shakeup. It was going to be canceled and then it got revived. And I remember hearing the story once. I don't know great details, but I think a different animation studio. So apparently some of the costumes change, some of the everything changed.
Yeah. So that kind of took me out of it. And then the stories weren't great. Not that I'm expecting, Oscar-winning performance stories out of this.
Sure.
But the whole thing was rushed because it was only 13 episodes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's one thing. I've been rewatching the original animated series a little bit, and I have not made it nearly as far as you. I'm still in season one. But I will say, really good. It's just really good. Good stuff. You're right. Not Oscar-worthy performances by any means. They're fun, though. And for a kids' show, just watching it and hearing the different characters speak on that show, the way Beast's speech is always very elevated and extra intellectual, and I'm hearing these jokes that now, I understand everything he's saying, but I'm sure as a kid it's sort of going over my head, he's mentioning just a lot of old literature and stuff that I surely didn't know about at that point. And I'm
I'm in
man.
The corner of my living room just going pew, 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 because I'm eight.
Well, I always loved that. I really like stuff with it when you're a kid, you watch and you're like, it sort of makes you think about what does that joke mean? And make you, if you're curious about it, it makes you kind of explore and think about things deeper. So I've really enjoyed just even the first few episodes and some of the moral dilemmas and the way that Charles and Magneto have their relationship and the different ways they want to handle the struggle and everything. It's dramatic, too. Yeah. It's so dramatic. It's so very dramatic, but it's also really complex compared to a lot of kids shows. In very many ways, Magneto is that go-to villain for the show, but he's also I'm still in season one, but it doesn't feel like Rita Repulsa where it's just send another monster. It's complicated issues and they actually move forward and things change and characters grow. And so it's got me really excited for the new show. I'm not going to make it through my rewatch. I started watching Screen Crush on YouTube. They broke down all It said like, whatever, 78 episodes in 15 minutes or in 40 minutes. And so they do these little like, this is what happens in episode one, then episode two, then episode three. And they just keep flashing the number up on the screen and giving like a really quick synopsis and showing clips from it.
You can say exactly what the, and it's funny, like we keep using the word unhinged for it because as a kid, you have to keep kids' attention and each episode does follow a storyline, but sometimes there's these like side quests things that don't matter and it's just all crazy and you're like, oh, I have to pay attention. Like I had a hard time with the Mojo episodes.
Right.
I couldn't get through, like I turned the volume down. I was like, I cannot listen to that guy make this voice. And who's the guy who plays Corsair or whoever? Towards the end, you'll see he's very dramatic. But as an adult, I'm picturing everyone in the actor studios, and that's what's making me laugh. Like these people are just in there being like, "Give it an all," and I'm like, "Good God, oh, to have been in there."
Yeah, it seems like it'd be a lot of fun.
Probably is.
So we'll be starting the coverage of X-Men 97 this week. Pretty excited about it. I think, yeah, like, I don't know. It's a cool show from back in the day. It's a lot of people's like first like love for these characters came from that show. Yeah. So apparently they're dropping the first two episodes the same day and they're going to drop on this Wednesday. So we'll be dropping those episodes in the feeds as soon as we can. So yeah, watch it. Come watch along with us. Hang out. It's excited about it.
Yeah, it should be fun. It's going to be interesting since isn't it a couple of the same voice actors from
back
in the day? And I'm interested to see. I mean, your voice changes, so
sure. Can you recapture that magic?
Yeah.
But the other news we have is Brad Winterbaum, who's like some executive over the TV and animation divisions of Marvel Studios, said that they have a Nova project in early development, and I thought that was interesting for a couple reasons. Obviously, we've been talking about Nova forever being a possibility. There were drafts of Infinity War where he was in the final battles and stuff, or Endgame. I don't know. He was in the originally supposed to be in Infinity War and Endgame, but they decided not to kind of squeeze him in there. Obviously, after the destruction on Xandar, like it makes sense that the Richard Rider character would have shown up, but like never did, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
But that means he's still probably floating out there with all that power. So it's exciting. But I thought it was interesting that they're thinking about apparently a TV project for Nova. That seems like a weird fit to me.
It depends on when they start. Like if they're going to show us past, like present and whatever for him. I don't mind like a six episode, like five or six episode. Maybe that'd be okay instead of a full movie. But hopefully the character will be able to catch everybody's like interest to keep them into it instead of a film. I don't know.
That's what I think. Like, I think that Nova to me seems like a perfect fit for like a traditional, like let's introduce a new character story. You know, it would be heavily based. Like think about a Nova movie that kicks off with the destruction of Xandar that we never got to see, like getting to star Thanos in another movie. And like, we've talked about it before, but like that would be such a great. And I guess it depends on where they want to draw people, because I do think that could be a great draw. But if you put it in the on Disney Plus, I feel like it might not get seen the way it will if you put it out in theaters.
That's always the problem.
Yeah. But they say it's in early development. Anyway, obviously, we've seen with like Armor Wars that changed. It was supposed to be a TV show, then they moved it over to a movie. So totally possible it'll still become a movie. But his quote here is one of the things that interested me most, though. He says, Brad Winterbaum says, "We have a new system behind the scenes at Marvel Studios. We're more like a traditional studio now. We're developing more than we actually will produce. There are plans to develop Nova. I love Nova 2. I love Richard Rider 2. I hope it gets to the screen." I thought this was interesting, just the idea that they have a new behind-the-scenes system at Marvel Studios. I haven't heard them talk about this. I don't know if I like the idea of them being more like a traditional studio. Like, I think that might mitigate some of the problems we've been seeing.
I don't know.
But it might introduce others, I guess. Like, it's not like they haven't always had projects they didn't go through with. They've always had this writer's room process at Marvel where they're writing a bunch. They had writers writing movies that never happened, you know? And they were just like, apparently, like, they would write a bunch of kind of like treatments of movies, and then they'd sort of say, oh, that one seems like it fits the goals. Let's do that. And like, pull in from different comics. I've heard that about Marvel for a long time, but the idea of it being more like a traditional studio makes me worried it'll be a little less top down, which has its benefits because you get more creative control in the hands of the directors and writers, but it has the detriment of you get less connection, which we've been begging for more connection. So
yeah, I can't see how they would be moving away from connection with where we are in kind of like the stories now, because now is about the time that everybody needs to start connecting back to keep everybody kind of, because everything's been apart for a while, and to go into just like more divergent storylines, I think people would have enough. They would be very upset, like calling the manager, Bob Disney. Or Tim Disney, or Tim Apple, whoever owns whatever.
Yeah, I agree. It just doesn't seem like a good idea to make things more separate. Now, that's not what he's saying here. He just says there's a new process and they're more like a traditional studio. But that sounds to me like, you know, in a traditional studio system, you create a project, it gets greenlit or not. Doesn't matter what the overall plan for the studio is. It's a little more just like, hey, that's a movie we want to make. That's a movie we want to make. Oh, that one looks good. And it seems like that would be a harder process to like keep that sort of continuity that we love about the phases 1 through 3.
I couldn't imagine working on that, like putting out a script and then just every time I'd be the one that they'd be like, no. And you're like, oh, I got to go back and write a whole nother thing. Because that's what it sounds like to me. I might be way off about what's happening, but you're like, oh my God, you're making so much stuff that's not even going to get done. And you're working a lot, stories that don't get, you know, what it was saying in the article.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think a lot of writers write that way anyway. They're writing movies that don't get made. You write a movie, it may get greenlit, it may not. It's just that Marvel... for a while, from what I've read about the process a little bit back in the day, like I remember them talking about they had like Guardians of the Galaxy was just a treatment sitting in like their writer's room for a while, where like it was one of many that like when James Gunn came in, he was like, oh, that one, let's do that one, you know, like that seems cool. And then he took over and like rewrote it. And so it's that first Guardian still has another writer on it as well, if I'm remembering correctly. And that first writer was like a staff writer at Marvel who was just writing treatments for these things, coming up with ideas, like generating the ideas based on the source material. And then directors come along and go like, oh yeah, that one, let's do that one. Or the execs do one or the other.
That's really fun.
Yeah. It seems really fun, honestly.
I'd be like, yes.
Yeah.
He picked mine.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. The other thing that I found interesting in the news was Venom got a name, and it's called Venom 3, which is not technically MCU. Mm-hmm. And it's Venom the Last Dance.
Okay. Does that mean it's the last one?
Well, that's kind of what I guess that's like what I'm taking from that name, which like I don't know how much you've been following all the like speculation drama around the Sony stuff. Basically, Madame Web has sort of like really brought into question the idea of whether they should be making movies at all without Marvel. Like, that's the whole thing, you know? Like
I can answer that for you.
The diminishing returns of making movies where you don't have your main character. Like, the Spider-Man can't be in them because Spider-Man's in a movie, Marvel Studios has to be involved because the way they're... At least that's the speculation. Like, we've talked about it with Madame Web, how they, like, messed around the edges of mentoring Peter Parker but never actually mentioned his name because that would be... There's a lot of speculation saying that was my speculation. That's been a lot of people online are saying it's likely in the contract they couldn't mention his name. They could put a baby who's just been born to Mary Parker, but you can't say Peter Parker because that character is like the contract with Marvel won't allow it. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Good for them. Yeah. So what that means is they're going to keep making these movies. And I mean, I'm sure we'll find out how Kraven does, but we know the failure that was Morbius. I think it's much better than Madame Web, but it's a failure. It was a financial failure. We know the various failures they've had in that studio. The one exception, though, is Venom. Venom has done pretty well for them. I think it broke $1 billion, one of those Venom movies.
Did it really?
I think. Let me double check that so I'm not just like... spitting craziness.
I don't dislike them, but I don't find myself running back to rewatch them.
Right.
You know?
I've never rewatched either one of them. Okay. Yeah. The first Venom made $856 million. I knew it got close, and I want to say, ooh, and the second one made $506 million. So it did dip after that first one. But, like, those Sony movies, the ones that have done really well were the, you know, Spider-Man, the ones with Spider-Man in them.
Yeah, sure, the Sony movies, sure.
Yeah, yeah,
Sony's exactly. Like, we did that, we did all of it, we did every part of it. Marvel, like, I don't know, they mailed a couple letters.
Yeah, but that's the, so, like, if Venom is the one that is their, I mean, like, of all of these movies, that's their flagship, you know, that's right. The one that has worked, because it's Venom, and it's a character with a built-in fan base. The movies are pretty good. Tom Hardy's really good in them. Like, Tom Hardy's a big actor. Like, those movies are working for what they are.
Yeah.
But if they're calling this one The Last Dance, you know, I could definitely see Tom Hardy being like, I'm tired of carrying this studio. Basically, like, I'm the only thing that's working for them. I'm tired of carrying it. And, like, if he's done and Kraven doesn't do well, I just don't know I don't see them continuing with a Sony, with this version of the Sony Cinematic Universe, because what do they have now? They haven't built anything else up. Like, there's no other characters that are making people return to the theaters or whatever.
Yeah, and Tom Hardy, he's like a creative actor, and I could see him kind of being like, okay, I've done this enough, I'm ready to move on. Yeah. He's doing that voice the whole time. Oh, my God. That's the one thing I think that does bother me about it, is that accent he's doing. I'm like, Tom Hardy, what is this? This goofy. But no, and I like seeing him do something different like that. But yeah, I wouldn't be. I'd be like, okay, end it well. Bring Spider-Man in. That's all anybody wants, so do it.
Right. That's all anybody wants.
I'll watch it.
Unfortunately, they've already made this. It's like, I don't know the release date on it, but it's already being made. And, like, I just feel like, it comes out this year in October. So, like, it's already made. And if they wouldn't allow them to use Spider-Man's name in Madame Web, I don't know, man. I just don't know if they're going to allow them to use it in Venom 3.
Where is Tom Holland? I mean, I feel like I just see him holding Zendaya's purse on the red carpet a lot, but I haven't seen him doing anything else recently. So I feel like he had a TV show.
Did he?
He had like a series. It was like a serious one where he was like, I don't know. I didn't watch it. He looked like a jail or some kind of institution. I don't know. Somebody watched it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I don't know. So I don't know what that was. It might have been
Apple or something. I don't know. But that's the only thing that I've seen him do, but I'm also not following his career very closely, so
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Time for Spider-Man.
Yeah, it just seems like they're sort of on a little bit of a hiatus, and that leads me to the broader speculation about this whole Venom being the last movie. It's like, if they're done, if they're not going to be able to, like, continue the threads they picked up in Morbius and Venom and Madame Web, and also, I mean, they introduced three.
You can't even say it without laughing.
No, it's bad. It's really bad. They introduced three versions of, like, Spider-Woman or whatever in that. And it's like, they also brought in Adrian Toomes from the MCU in Morbius. I actually don't mind the character of Morbius. I thought he was pretty good. They have the problems. They have bigger problems than the MCU does. But sometimes, when an MCU property is middle, I still am like, ooh, I'm still want to see what happens to this character. You know, like, I'm still interested, and I feel that way about most of the Sony movies. But yeah, not so much Madame Web. Although, like, I like some of the characters who are playing the Spider Women in Madame Web. I would not mind them coming back, but it's just like, no one, they're not going to do it because the movie was so terribly hated.
Yeah. It's like when they think that they could, they should just think, should they?
Yeah.
Should you?
Yeah. Well, and that's the question. Like, what should they do here? If they're done, do they sell back? Like, I think the dream is they would just sell back to Marvel.
Sell it back to Marvel. Stop wasting time.
Like, Spider-Man by itself is worth a few billion, probably.
Yeah,
like,
just
get that money to make new interesting Sony properties and stop trying to keep all Marvel's toys.
Bob Disney's like, cash? Do you want cash? Just do it.
Yeah. And I really do think that the people at Disney would absolutely take like a big payout to get that under the, because that would that'd be everything, right? There's nothing left that's not under their purview. Spider-Man's the last thing. Hulk's like
Hulk. They got back from Universal. No,
they, did they get the? So they've had it back for the film rights, but I don't think they had the distribution rights, which is why we haven't seen a Hulk proper movie, like just a Hulk movie. Because they, if it's a Hulk movie and the title, it has to be a. But like, man, we need like a Wolverine versus Hulk movie. We need some cool stuff like that. And like all this stuff could be rolling and happening all the time. Like all these great characters that are still around, but like they're just, you know, they're kind of sitting on their hands right now. And I'm wondering if even some of this Marvel stuff that we're like seeing the shakeups, like I'm wondering if Sony gets desperate enough and sells back the rights, like Spider-Man could be like a big, Spider-Man could be the new MCU lead, you know, like we kept, like we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
We need that, like, core characters.
Tom Holland needs to write another letter to Bob Disney or whatever he did before.
Tom Holland and Iman Vellani.
Be like, he done.
Tom Holland and Iman Vellani need to both get drunk and call Kevin Feige or whatever.
Is she 21? Is she 21?
Oh, probably. that's a good question. I don't know.
If they do it in London, it's okay, right?
Yeah.
Drinking age is 16.
They're lawless over there. No, she's 21.
Lawless. Okay, good. I can't tell the age of children anymore. She could have been 16. Either. She could have been 22.
100%. I 100% agree. But I figured Ms. Marvel was like a couple years ago. She seemed, she's 21.
Yeah.
So they both need to get drunk and call. I think that was the thing. Like, apparently he got drunk and like cried on the phone to the execs, Tom Holland.
That's my guy.
Yeah, so good. Like, because that would be, I feel like those two could legitimately carry the franchise forward, like the whole MCU, like Iman Vellani, like Captain Marvel, that like bubbly sweetness of her with like a little bit of a jaded Spider-Man to sort of counterbalance it, like kind of bring him back to the good old days of happy Spider-Man. They're both in New York, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
Is she in New York?
Is she Jersey City? I don't know.
Jersey City, around that area.
I mean, it's close.
It's close. Yeah, you're right. It's Jersey City. So yeah, that was. I just think that's interesting that it's called The Last Dance. It could be the last dance for these guys over at Sony trying to make their own little universe.
I think someone wrote in a feedback possibly about this. We'll have to scroll down.
Okay.
Because they brought up a certain villain that I thought would be possibly a good idea for it.
For Venom. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what the name was, but it's like the King, like symbiote. It's he's very much like Gore, which I don't think they're gonna do it.
We did get Null. Null. Let me see if we'll read it right now before we get into feedback. I don't know much about Null, but I've heard we've talked about it on the cast before, but I've never actually like read any of his books. We have here a feedback from it just says it's from Null.
Yeah, that's but, what it said.
Hey, maybe it's Null himself.
He's like, character from comics
is like, hey, put me in, coach.
They know that Kevin listens, so.
Null says, hey, Ashley, Matt, and Jeff, first time, long time, like long time. I have not heard anyone mention Null as the new big bad in the MCU. It might be early for such a character, and I'm not sure if Sony has the rights. However, I think Null would be a great big bad going forward. He is as big as you can get, and he has that dark element that we're all begging for. What do you all think? Thank you for all the content. I hope Ashley is feeling better. Love you, 3000. Thank you, Null. I don't fully know much about Null.
So the symbiote is supposed to like come from him, I'm pretty sure. I might be okay. wrong, but he looks like Gore with long like Magneto hair, like white long hair, but he has like the creepy teeth and like the black around the eye, and he has a sword that's very much like the dark sword or whatever the hell that thing's called.
Yeah.
I'm fired. I can't remember anything.
Null is a fictional super villain appearing in American comic books published by Marvel Comics, commonly associated with Venom and Carnage, and later retroactively established as the unseen enemy of Thor and the Silver Surfer, as he was behind Gore the God Butcher's mission to hunt down the villain, hunt down and kill various deities. I remember hearing this as an idea on a YouTube video that someone had, and I do think it's a pretty good one. There's this sort of like speculation about like where'd that sword come from? Like that movie, Thor Love and Thunder is like,
came out of nowhere.
Comes out of the floor, he grabs it and starts fighting and killing gods. And it's like, it seems like there was a purpose, like someone was goading him into that or something. So it's, yeah, that seems interesting. And if Null is the force behind all of that, that could be cool.
It'd be a good way to tie the stories together in a weird, you know, back alleyway.
Yeah.
If you the third Venom to Thor Love and Thunder, how funny would that be?
Yeah, that'd be pretty wild. But that's again, we've still never really had, I don't think we've had any on-screen mentions of whether Venom is for sure in which universe. Like we've talked, like I think it's in the more Sony Morbius blah blah blah. Well, no, we know it's not in the Marvel.
Tiki bar moment.
Right. We know it's not in MCU proper because he gets transported in, but I'm trying to remember if there's ever been like an actual, I think in Morbius. See, and this is where it gets confusing because now I'm having like, is it real or is it just from the trailer? Because they do things like they put stuff in the trailer that isn't actually in the movie. I think right. In the trailer for Morbius, someone calls him Venom, but I don't think it's in the movie, if I'm remembering correctly. Like,
I think it is in the movie.
And it is in
like,
the movie?
Yeah. Well, he's like, I'm Venom. And he's like, no, yeah. I'm kidding.
That's See, I couldn't remember if that was in the movie or just the trailer. All right. Yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely possible. And we also have the Venom symbiote in the MCU proper hanging out at the Tiki Bar. So we'll see how that goes. It was licking the screen looking for Tom Holland. So,
yeah, I mean, you set something up.
Yeah, set it up, pay it off.
Now let's go to court. I'm like, no, stop this.
Exactly. We're going to spend the next, like, I just want them to just get it done. There's even like, there's some people online are actually speculating that there's going to be like a legitimate lawsuit about like brand confusion and Marvel could get the rights back by suing Sony because like, apparently like they, I mean, we've talked about this on the cast before, but apparently like some of the actresses who were hired for Madame Web thought they were in the MCU when it happened. Like,
I mean, that's their fault. I'm
totally. For not knowing what's going on.
I'm not trying to victim blame, but read the contract.
Sure. Well, I don't know that would be in the contract exactly, but the thing is like,
says Sony.
It should be their agent's fault, really. Like,
that too.
It's not a manager. It's not a actor's job to know everything about the particular fictional universes they might join. It'd be good if they did. We all like it when they know what's going on. But then there's like, you know, some actors and actresses who just come for the job. They're good actors. Mm-hmm. They leave. Like you can imagine, like Marvel. Okay, there are bands in town. Like I work here and I have bands. Like I do wedding bands. There are wedding bands there are other wedding bands who hire my people sometimes, and they literally take my people with all of my song lists that I taught them and trained them on, and they will go sing in a different band. Like for it's almost like Uber style, like they'll just hire musicians and then those musicians will get together and play. And like sometimes those bands suck because they're like thrown together, but sometimes they're my musicians. And it sort of like reminds me of that because not only are you competing for the client's dollars, but you're starting to compete for talent. And so you can imagine how pissed off if you were Kevin Feige and all these, this like Sony is not only confusing people by saying, look how bad Marvel movies now, look at Madame Web, but they're also confusing the actual actors in the movies into thinking they're in the wrong universe. That would piss me off, man.
They're like, Sydney Sweeney, you go out there and tell everybody that you love being in the MCU. She's like, okay, and then goes on every TV show and then says it. Mm-hmm. But I get it. That's not stupid on like on Sony's side. It's sneaky, but that's business, baby, and Tinseltown. Like, it's crazy the things that go on.
Yeah.
But I hope, like, yeah, Marvel needs to kibosh that. Needs to stop.
Yep, I completely agree.
Well, and that's why Kraven the Hunter's funny, because everybody's going to see what's his face, and you just think, oh, that's Quicksilver. You know, that's Quicksilver from the MCU. No, he's Kraven the Hunter now.
Yeah.
Like, look at these abs. They're going to distract you from thinking anything's going on. Just look over here.
I'm
like,
I will say, I think that actor disappears into roles so well.
I do too. I love him.
Like, I think he's going to do, I don't think I will think Quicksilver once the entire time I'm watching him, because he's like the voice. For one thing, I am so bad at recognizing people when they're using a different voice. If it's convincing, like I recognize people auditorily, by audio more than I recognize them by like look. I was watching that new show, Kevin Can F Himself? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. I watched like a season of that show and didn't realize the actress was from Schitt's Creek. And I had just watched all of Schitt's Creek. And like, yeah, it made me feel so, like she's using an accent, like a Jersey accent sort of thing. And like we got all the way through the show and I looked up, my fiance is like, is that the girl from Schitt's Creek? She's like, yeah, we've been watching this show for 2 weeks. And I was like, yeah, sorry. I didn't catch that.
Put it together. It's like the Superman thing. Just put on some glasses and I'm yeah. like, where'd he go?
If Superman used an accent, I would be completely lost.
Done, it'd be over.
Yeah, for sure.
Glasses and an accent?
Yeah, would work on me every time. But you know what? If you need that close Superman-style shave, you gotta get those Kryptonian hairs off your face. You got to go with Henson Shaving. We've talked about these guys before, but they are a aerospace parts manufacturer that has decided to get into the world of shaving, and I seriously believe they are like revolutionizing shaving for me, and I think they could for you guys. I get really annoyed with like subscription razors or those expensive disposable razors or razor heads or whatever. Like they get expensive. I feel like I burn through them really fast. Mm-hmm. Well, these are just a completely different product. And the way it works is instead of creating a product that is designed to keep getting your money every month, Henson Shaving made a really great razor that you can just replace the razor blade inside, like a generic razor blade. So you don't have to go to them for the extra razors. But with our coupon code, you do get 2 years worth of blades for free. Wow. But that's the genius of it is that instead of using those disposable heads that have a lot of plastic waste and everything else, it's just the razor blade you're replacing, and it's super, super cool. Like I said, Henson Shaving is a family-owned aerospace parts manufacturer that has made parts for the International Space Station and Mars Rover, and now they are bringing precision engineering to your shaving experience. Razors are like diving boards. The longer the razor blade, the more wobble it has in it, so they have designed their razors so that only 0.0013 inches of razor is visible, which is less than a thickness of a human hair.
It's crazy.
It's really, really cool. And like, you can see it. Like when you tighten down the little razor chassis to tighten down on the razor, you can just see the like very thin edge of razor that gives you such a close shave and such a rigid blade, so you just better shave. It's just a really close shave. Henson Shaving wants the best razor, not the best razor business. That means no plastic, no subscriptions, no proprietary blades, and no planned obsolescence. It's like a one-time purchase, people. You buy this thing, it looks like Thor's hammer. It is so cool. It really
it is
very really
classy.
Cool. Very classy looking thing. And so instead of, you know, buying tons of blades all year round, you spend $3 to $5 a year on replacement blades. $3 to $5 a year. So you buy it once, it's good forever. It's great. I highly recommend it. It's time to say no to subscriptions and yes to a razor that'll last you a lifetime. Visit HensonShaving.com/MCU to pick the razor for you and use code MCU and you'll get 2 years worth of blades free with your razor. Just make sure to add them to your cart. That's 100 free blades when you head to HensonShaving.com/MCU and use code MCU. They're really great. I don't know how else to say it. I really think you guys should try it. I fully support this Henson Shaving. Totally gonna, like, I'm never gonna need another razor again. It's awesome. All right, well, turning back to the world of the MCU, we got some feedback. You want to talk some feedback, Ash?
Yeah, let's do it.
Sweet. Jason Bailey says, hey, y'all, wouldn't it be cool if the MCU gave us an end credit scene where it shows Loki holding the timelines, he smiles at the camera, it cuts to the scene, we see all the Kangs in the stadium, and they just get spaghettified.
<That'd>
Love
be a
the
quick
podcast.
Way to deal with it. Yeah.
It really would.
That's fine.
If they did bring back a different actor as Kang, it would sort of be like, that Loki thought he got rid of me, but it just made me change a little bit or whatever, change my tactics a little bit, you know. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. It's good. KT Lisbeth, one of our patrons, said, any MCU timeline / canon theories should be called, drumroll please, green spaghetti theories. I like it. Or, if you have a sweet tooth, key lime pie slice theories. It's pretty good.
All good.
I like that. I in general, I like the fact that the MCU has really turned into its green era with a...
It's the best color.
Yeah. Oh, man. I know we talk about it all the time, how like the different colors correspond to Infinity Stones and such, which sometimes feels like it fits, sometimes it feels like a stretch. But like, I really would love to see... There's just so much cool magic going on in the MCU right now with like Wanda's red, Agatha's purple, Loki's green. They just feel like... They feel like they're kind of steering into the bright colors of it all a lot more often.
I love it. It's the cosmic look.
Yeah. Well, and it's really, yes, when it comes to Loki, but the other two are just like this, like, I guess the red comes magic, from the stones, but it's her magic. But the purple's just, we haven't seen a lot of the purple yet. We've just got, like, it's more like in a promo art so far. I can't wait for Agatha.
Oh, me neither. Oh, I can't wait. I'm probably the most excited for that. And of course I am.
Yeah. Of course. I am too. I mean, Deadpool and Wolverine is pretty exciting. Oh,
that's
exciting.
Hard too. God. Yeah. TV. Okay, I'll make it easy. TV show wise.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially like this year, I think that's basically all we're getting for sure. Right. This year's going to be a light year, but I don't know. I'm hoping we get a lot more info coming up soon about like all the Fantastic Four stuff and what we're getting. Yeah. What's the new slate going to look like? Are we going to find out what the new slate looks like? Because it sounds like they're paring back and they're trying not to be so... apparently, a lot of the stuff that we got that has changed was stuff that Kevin Feige was kind of pressured into announcing. Like, when they did that announcement for Phase 4, 5, and 6 or whatever.
Yeah.
Apparently, they were not completely ready to announce some of that stuff. So it's like, but like it was around the time of them trying to get people on board with Disney Plus. So they announced a lot of things, and those things have, some of them are happening, some of them have changed, some of them are not happening. And it just feels a lot less stable than it did with like the El Capitan Theater a few years ago, when it was like, here's our shot. We're calling our shot. And then they made most of those movies.
They sure did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The next we got Vigiana. Says, hey y'all, I love the Thor the Dark World cast today. Thank you. You discussed Captain America playing himself as Loki, and I wanted to highlight a similar scene in Ant-Man and the Wasp. My wife and I rewatched last night, and the scenes where Janet takes over Scott's body had us dying. While it's not explained very well, Paul Rudd is so good when he snaps back to being Scott, and he is still holding Hank's hand. It's hilarious. Keep an eye out when you do your rewatch. I know you will love it too. Thanks again, Vigiana.
It always reminds me, I can't remember what the movie is, but it's what Rob Schneider, when he's like, it's me, Jessica, when it was like body swipes with a college student, like a college girl, and it's, oh God, what's that movie? It's definitely like early 2000s. You don't know what I'm talking about?
No idea.
Oh my God.
Never watched a lot of Rob Schneider stuff.
People are probably screaming at them.
I like to think they're all on my side and no one's heard of this. And it's just like a Mandela effect.
No. The hot chick, I'm pretty sure. Is
oh, I remember seeing that, but I had no idea that's what the plot was. Yeah, no, but I love that kind of stuff. I really always love when people are playing, like, you know, other people's characters through, because it's not just the character they're playing, they're also playing that actor a little bit. Like, they really kind of like, I don't know, it's just a lot of fun. Face Off is always my go-to, of course.
I like body swap movies.
I do too, in general. I remember, yeah, there's a lot of them. And it's also like a common trope in science fiction too, like in like Star Trek and all that kind of stuff. They do a lot of that stuff.
They just did the horror one that I liked. I think Freaky? It was Freaky with Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. It was good. I like that. Great name too.
Yeah,
because it like elicits Freaky Friday without like exactly copying it. It's good stuff.
Hey, and that's the girl from Ant-Man, right?
Oh, cool. I remember that.
I think so.
I don't know. I don't remember. Up next, Joe Wilson Says, hello, Ashley, Matt, Jeff, and any other permutations. I was just thinking about the Marvels and a line towards the end of the movie that at first feels like just a throwaway line, but could it be more? It's when Kamala's brother tells her, I can't become an only child again. Now, the age difference to me would say that he is referring to the beginning of his life. He was too young to have any memories of that, i.e. my brother's 3.5 years older than me. No way he remembers being an only child. In this case, could he be referring to the 5-year gap recently that he was an only child for? Maybe Kamala was the only one snapped in her family. On top of that, it was stated in Ms. Marvel that Kamala's genetics had mutated. The only other character that we know that has acquired new powers since the blip is Monica. On top of that, another character that was blipped, Scarlet Witch, had her powers seemingly increased since coming back from being blipped. So overall, my question is, could Marvel have confirmed that the blip caused the X gene to activate in at least certain blipped individuals? Sorry for the long-windedness, but would love to hear your thoughts on this. Thanks. Hey, thanks, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an easy way to do it.
Yeah, well, we've talked about this. There were like a lot of speculation during the in-game times that this might be a way. The radiation of two snaps on Earth caused, you know, all this could cause the X gene to activate. I've always been like, oh, yeah, they might, maybe, whatever. We're planning to do an episode soon on like different ways they could bring the X-Men into the universe and kind of discuss that. When I heard this email, I was like, yeah, I don't think that's it because he seems a good bit older than her. And yes, the actor who plays her brother is 37 and she is 21. So wow. There's a 16-year age difference. So he would remember that. I mean, if his age in the show is anything like the actor's age, blah, 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 all that being accepted. But it seems very plausible that he might just be like, I was the only child for 15 years, then you came along.
Right.
But then he kind of won me over, though, when you go down the list and it's like the blip, Monica was blipped. She got powers.
Yeah.
And also Scarlet Witch powers were definitely seemed to be increased. So maybe her mutant gene enhanced her Scarlet Witch powers that she already had. Well, she already had been activated some of her powers and her brother's powers, which seem like that was an early activation of the X gene by the Mind Stone.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's seeming more and more plausible the more we got down this. The Monica one's the one I really like too, because we also know Monica just jumped into a different universe where she sees her mother, right? Mm-hmm. As Photon or whatever her different superhero names are. Mm-hmm. I always forget.
She has too many.
Right.
You get one. Come on.
Yeah, come on. It's just greedy, Monica.
It's so greedy.
The thing that I think is interesting there, though, is that like not only is she jumps over and she sees Beast, an X-Man, so it's possible that he's hanging out with another mutant if this is the X-Men.
He references Charles.
Right. But I guess what I'm getting at is Maria Rambeau is standing there among the X-Men or, you know, an X-Man. Is she an X-Man? And if so, does she have the X gene? And if so, did she pass that down? As we know it is in comics and on cartoons and such, the lineage. So yeah, I kind of like it. I kind of like it. Like the X gene wasn't somehow disrupted in our universe, and then it was activated by the blip, or maybe exposure to the powers of the stones, or something like that, which would make sense how Quicksilver got his, Scarlet Witch, Monica Rambeau, and Ms. Marvel, if she was blipped. You'd think she'd mention it, though, when she's doing her whole, like, radio show, or like her YouTube video.
Mm.
Right? Feels like she would mention that that's how that happened when she's like talking about the heroes and what they did. Like they brought me back from the non-existence.
Yeah. Hmm. No, it's interesting because then it's like what just regular people could you have it happen to them? And then we start to be able to bring in other mutants that we don't have to bring in from a different world. They can just like, this is our cannonball or, you know.
Yeah.
This 100%. Is our Jubilee.
100%. Yeah, and that's always been the question. Do they bring them from this universe or another universe?
Well, it's like now you can 50-50.
Yeah, totally. And have like different versions all existing together. Or maybe that's what Secret Wars does. Maybe it pairs it all down to like one continuous universe somehow.
Interesting.
I don't know. But I really do like that theory more and more. I've always discounted that theory a little bit, like, maybe, but whatever. But it is kind of telling that there's three people that have gotten powers, that two that we know were blipped and one that may have been.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. Good ideas. Richard Thompson says, hey, y'all, I'm almost done my long time slide with the cast. I don't know what that means exactly. I think he's listening to it from the beginning.
All
maybe.
Of it? Oof.
Yeah. Don't go, ooh.
No, it's a lot of, like, that's a lot of episodes.
I know, I'm just teasing
you. Good for that, I know.
I'm just teasing you. I believe I found the cast when the Disney Plus series started dropping, and then I went all the way back to the beginning. I listen to the cast while I get in my daily 3 to 6 mile walks for exercise and or my commutes for work.
I wish I could do that. Imagine how good I would feel if I could walk 3 to 6 miles a day.
When I used to, I had physical therapy today because I've mentioned it on the cast this last couple weeks, but like I've been having some weird problem with my hip that like is throwing me off. But I have a bad heel spur, and I used to run 6 miles every morning when I was in, like, right after college. I was getting up every morning and running 6 miles, and I was feeling great. It's the best fit I've ever been. And then I got a heel spur, and I've, like, never, I can't run. Like, I can't run at all. I can't, if I run, like, 15 feet, my heel burns for, like, 3 days. So, like, I just haven't, I don't know. I talked to the PT guy today. Should I try for the surgery? Because the surgery just feels like it could be really terrible, like, recovery time and stuff. I don't know. Anyway. It's like
how long off your feet?
He was saying like it's a bit. There's a big range. I don't know yet. It's just going to take me getting like some real like looking at my heel spur and seeing if it's like how bad it is. Because I mean, I really hate not being like running hurts particularly, but any like hiking also hurts. But like, and I love to hike. And even swimming, like if I swim a lot, like that heel will get inflamed. Like it's really bad. But it took me a long time to know it was a heel spur. Anyway, so yes, we're jealous of your walks and your exercising. I used to be so much more fit when I could run every morning. I miss that.
I get up way too early. Like we.
Oh yeah, you can't do morning exercise.
No, and then it's like work is so long. I get home after 12 hours. I'm like, I'm not doing it now.
Yeah. No.
I get it. I motivated.
I do well with morning exercise. Like it gets me going in the morning. Like it wakes me up. Yeah. Anyway. Sorry. No. That's great. So listening to the cast is like being a part of a conversation with friends about the Marvel Cinematic Universe properties. I especially enjoyed the coverage of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I loved that show.
There you go.
Yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I wish they would just make it canon so I would have to watch it.
You know, Ashley, you can just watch it.
I can't at this point, no. What's the point? I got so much to watch and there's no point.
There's so much point. There's so much point.
Someday, maybe. That if I lose a bet, we'll see.
Okay, well, we'll just start making random bets with you until we get you to watch the show. Continuing Richard's feedback. When Ashley joined the podcast team, I knew I would probably never stop listening. Ashley, I love the energy you have brought to the podcast. I think you are wonderful just being your honest self and F anyone who wastes their time sending negativity your way. It took me a minute to realize there is something about your energy that reminds me of a very dear friend who has just passed away. Oh. I think you are great. It doesn't hurt that you are right across the river, too.
Very oh, cool. Jersey boy?
No, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Cinnaminison. Oh, yeah. I've gone to a couple weddings in that town. Oh, they cool. have these huge venues.
Man, I wish there were pandas around here. There's a couple. There's a couple. But yeah, I see people posting like meetups with just like one or two other random pandas. And I'm always like, I want to be there. Even Jeff left me.
Jeff went as far away as he. I was like, you were already so far.
I know. He had to get away from us.
I'm so sorry about your friend, Rich. That's tough. That's always tough.
For sure. Sorry, Rich. Much condolences.
Yeah.
Continuing his feedback. So, Agatha Darkhold Diaries with Aubrey Plaza in the cast. Ooh. What character is she playing? How cool would it be if she was Mephisto?
Ooh, I'd be fine with
it. I like that. That would be great.
She was great as the Shadow King, so I'm telling you, she could pull it off.
Yeah, exactly. She could totally pull it off. Put it on the board. he yells. He exclaims, LOL, it's probably not the case, but think how creepy, cool, and devilish she was as Lenny in Legion, and imagine getting to see her bring all the wild, weird darkness into the MCU proper. Love all you do for all time, always. Rich Thompson from Simonson, New Jersey.
Rich, I love everything about this email.
Yeah.
It's everything. Great. I'm fine. I would love that too. Even if we already kind of saw it in Legion, I would be fine with it because
right.
She's so good. And she can be so menacing to put, like, she's a tiny, petite, you know, mm-hmm. girl, but I would still be a little worried. You know, she has a little bit of that I'll kill you kind of vibe. And that's why I love her.
Totally. And she also has just like a really good like playfulness to her that I think Mephisto needs, where like as Lenny in Legion, which I still haven't finished, I'm working on it. me and my niece are watching it right now. And it's like, yeah, it's menacing at times, but like really funny and playful. And like, I think that's what a really good, if they, you do Mephisto right, and he's like an overarching villain that we see return and like come back and have real effects on the universe, like I think it could be a really cool thing to have like a someone who's who can pull both those things off, and I think she'd be awesome.
I wonder if we're getting to the point where if they don't bring him in this show, are we going to start? I don't feel like I'm ever going to stop being like Mephisto's going to show up, but I'm like, at one point do I stop thinking that this is going to happen? And the answer is probably never.
Yeah, it's a fair answer. It's a fair answer. Well, thank you, Rich. Thank you for writing in. And yes, yeah, again, Rich. Sorry about your friend, man. And it's a pleasure to have you listen to the show and thinking, feeling like you're part of this conversation. And you are. You just wrote in.
You know, it always makes a girl feel good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because you guys had such a, I forget, what are you coming up on, 10 years now?
Yes, we're in August, we'll hit 10 years, and we're going to try to do Dragon Con this year. We are doing Dragon Con this year. We got to plan it still, but on the last episode, me and Jeff were like, we're going to do it. We're going to do it.
I was wondering why people have been messaging me about Dragon Con on Instagram. I'm like, what are you guys talking about?
Oh.
So I was like, we should rent out a comedy club and charge this much at the door to make all of our money back. Like, people are throwing out like good ideas to have like a sit down.
I love that. But yeah, I know people that we've never done a live show at all, so it would be a weird and interesting experiment. And like maybe there would be enough people in town to make something like that worth it. But either way, we just want to do something to celebrate 10 years. Like, it's 10 years and it's going to be dang near 1,000 episodes.
Yeah.
So we like, we want to do something really fun for that. So,
and I can't even believe, I mean, I came in right around this time, 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. So
we're on your
right at, fourth. This is four. Four, right?
Right before the pandemic, I did my first episode with you guys on Bingers, which was First Class, which was fun.
Whenever WandaVision dropped is when you started doing like basically weekly on here.
So yeah, I started doing producing on the episodes like right in the middle of the pandemic. I would say like April.
Okay.
April cool. or May is when I started coming on the show and
yeah, so it's been
kind
like
of
four.
Just doing the background stuff. Yeah, so it's, yeah. I couldn't believe it when I looked at it because of our IMDb page.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody set up for us. And it's, we are all having a good laugh about, I wonder if Jeff's edits went through because some of the stuff was, it's not right. It was just saying that like more famous people were on the cast.
Yeah, but it's super cool that we somebody created an IMDb page for us. We don't know how that happened.
And it's very accurate. I was
yeah,
like,
for the most part.
Admit, when I started, and I go, oh my God, I can't believe it's been this long.
Yeah, that's wild, man. It's crazy. Well, we're gonna be back with more. We'll be back to talk about X-Men 97 in a couple of days. Yeah. And yeah, lots of stuff to come. Lots of stuff coming in the next few weeks. More Infinity Saga rewatch stuff, more news and feedback, I'm sure, and some commission stuff. So stick around, you true believers. Peace. I don't know.
Until next time, true believers.
Sorry, I wasn't trying to steal the true believer thunder. I was just like, what do we call people? True believers.
Let it start and end in chaos.
I love it. Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.